got your Bible, Acts chapter 6. If you're visiting with us, we are talking about church strategy. So it's a little bit of in-house keeping, and I hope that you will find it encouraging to you in some way. So Acts chapter 6 specifically, and our church, we're looking at four stakes to strengthen. Four stakes. So we've looked at our church strategy like a tent. We looked at the cords of the tent that we needed to lengthen, some areas of ministry that we needed to lengthen and do more in. Well, right now we're looking at the four stakes of the tent. So if this is the tent, we're trying to hammer in a little bit the stakes of the tent in order to secure and strengthen some areas of our church. So last week we talked about elders in the church as two offices of the church. I've broken it up. Last week we talked about elders, and this week we are going to talk about deacons. So the pattern of the Bible we saw last week of leadership in the church is a group of male elders or overseers whose job it is to shepherd the church, to look over, to care for the church, oversee, and to teach and instruct the church in the Word of God. And now we come to this week to deacons. So deacons is distinct from elders, but deacons is an office of the church that is vitally needed. But they're not the same thing, and often these terms are confused, elder and deacon. So what is the role of deacons in the church, and how are they different from elders? That's the main thing that I really want you to get today, is that there are two offices of the church, elder or overseer and deacon, and how are they different? So Acts chapter 6, we saw the answer in Acts chapter 6. Now in these days, when the disciples, when they were increasing in number, there was this complaint by the Greek-speaking Jews, okay, the Hellenists, Greek-speaking, arose against the Hebrew-speaking Jews because the Hebrews, the Hellenists, the Greek-speaking widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. We don't know what that daily distribution is until a moment. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It's not right that we should give up preaching the Word of God to serve tables." So now we know what the daily distribution was. It had something to do with serving tables. "Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute or reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word." So they chose Stephen, man full of faith, the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas. And they set them before the apostles, and they prayed and laid hands on them, and the Word of God continued to increase. So in this passage, we have the beginnings. We said last week it was like a prototype. In Acts chapter 6, the beginning of these two offices or two separations of church offices in the church. What makes them distinct from one another? So we have this one group, the apostles, at this time, and later we'll see, we saw last week, it was elders of the church who had this responsibility, who say that they, their responsibility is preaching the Word of God. And they were felt like they were getting pulled away. They said, "It's not right that we should be not preaching the Word of God in order to serve tables." So they wanted to make sure that this daily distribution of food is done. So this practical thing that needs to be done, needs to be done. But the apostles said, we need to devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. So two types of ministry. Ministry to the Word and ministry to practical needs. So they chose these seven men to help out in these ways. So the reason we say that this was the beginning of deacons in Acts chapter 6, even though it never says, and they chose these guys as deacons, is because it actually uses the word service, which is where the word deacon comes from. So it's a common, ordinary word in the Scripture for servant, the word deacon, okay? So there's no English word for deacon. We borrow the Greek, which is diakonos or diakonia. We use that word, but what it means is servant. And it's such a common word that even Jesus referred to himself as a deacon. And Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for many. It's the same word. Paul said that he was a deacon, and all believers are supposed to perform the deacon task. So it's a very common word. I serve a tennis ball. I'll serve you food. We serve in the church. We use this word very commonly. But the apostles said that their service is to the word, and the deacon's service is to making sure that these widows have enough food. But it's not only that. These deacons were acting as unity builders against the Hellenist and the Jews, the Hebrew-speaking Jews. So by their service, they were unifying the church. So elder, episkopos, literally means scope, to look over, an overseer, someone who's looking over the church carefully, and deacon, diakonos, which means servant. Originally, it was a word that meant to run errands. To run errands. So there are two distinct offices of the church, and they have certain functions in the New Testament. Not one's greater than the other, but they have two different functions. Elders' primary ministry is to oversee and teach the word, and deacons' primary ministry is in the serving in practical matters. So if you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, where we will see the only place in Scripture where we have these qualifications for overseers and deacon together. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now in Titus there is a qualifications list for overseers, but there isn't one for deacons in Titus. So only here in Timothy do we have these side by side or one on top of the other. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 through 13. I want us to see these together because I think it'll be important for us to compare them. So 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1, read along with me. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, that's episkopos, that's elder, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, and with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Deacons, likewise, must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons. Literally, let them serve, be deacons, if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives, likewise, must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. So that's the two places where we see qualifications for elders or overseers and deacons together. I want you to notice a few things about the deacons passage. Number one, the character of deacons, the character of deacons is virtually the same as that of elders. When it comes to who deacons are supposed to be in their character, virtually the same. Both are to be above reproach or dignified. Both are to be sober-minded. Both are to be the husband of one wife. It literally means a one-woman man. Both are to manage their homes well. Both are not to love money. So that's the first thing, is that the qualifications of the character of deacons versus elders or pastors, overseers, is that the qualifications are the same when it comes to who they're supposed to be in their walk with God. Number two, there is a clear distinction, though, between the roles of elder and deacon. As we saw in Philippians chapter 1, the book was addressed to overseers and deacons. But here in 1 Timothy, you will see that the actual roles that they do are different. There are differences in what they do. Elders are to be able to teach. Deacons, they are not supposed to be able to teach. Now, they can teach. Stephen could sure teach the Bible. But that's not a requirement that a deacon be able to teach. But it is for an elder. Elders are to, as 1 Timothy said, care for God's church. Deacons are not listed as a responsibility to care for God's church. It does say likewise. Elders are to be hospitable. It says nothing about hospitality when it comes to deacons, but all believers are supposed to practice hospitality. Elders must not be a recent convert. That's because elders is a position of authority and leadership, and a new believer, that would be a dangerous thing. But deacons, there's no mention of needing to be a Christian for a long time in order to serve in the church. In the deacon passage, it mentions the word serve a few times, but in the elder passage, it doesn't mention that. Elders must be well thought of by outsiders, but in the deacon passage, there is no mention of this. So, a clear distinction between the two roles, but the character of deacons and elders is virtually the same. Does that make sense? What they're supposed to be inside in their walk with God, blameless. But their roles just look different. Similar as men and women, both made in the image of God. God expects the same things out of us, but yet men and women are not the same. We're different. Our makeup is very different. Number four, question, who can serve as a, well, the statement, who can serve as a deacon is different than those who can serve as an elder. So what we looked at last week is that there is a direct mention in 1 Timothy chapter 2, for a woman is not to exercise authority or to teach over a man. Well, what about deacons? There are some churches that say a woman cannot serve as a deacon. The church I grew up in America had no women deacons. Well, was that biblical? 1 Timothy 3:11, I believe, is very clear that there are to be deaconesses in the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 3:11 mentions the wives of deacons. This phrase can also be translated not women likewise, wives likewise, but women likewise. So whether someone thinks this passage refers to deacons and deaconesses or just the wives of deacons, one thing is clear is that women were serving in this way. So it doesn't matter whether you think it's wives of the wives of a deacon or whether it's women in general. He specifically says that they would be doing that type of ministry. In fact, we have an example of a deaconess in the Scripture. Turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. We have this sister named Phoebe. Romans 16, verses 1 and 2 says, this is Paul writing, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Chantria, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Now the word that's used there for Phoebe is the word deacon. Literally in that passage it says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon in the church at Chantria. And there were many women in the New Testament who also served the church in various ways. So, number one, the character of deacons and elders is virtually the same. But number two, the roles of elders and deacons is not the same. There is a distinction between them. And number three, there are women deaconesses, I believe, in the Scripture. So, let me answer a couple of questions that you might have in your mind. I'm going to try to go really fast. We need to take the Lord's Supper, which is very important and meaningful. I want to answer a couple of questions. Number one, why are we even talking about this? Why the need to address the difference between elders and deacons? Well, the reason is, maybe you say, well, I've never heard a sermon before on the difference between deacon and elders. Well, that's exactly why we need to do it. Because in many churches, we get this confused of what an elder is, or what an overseer is, or what a bishop is, or what a priest is, or what a deacon is. So the need is that we need to go to the Scriptures and see exactly what the differences are between these two. Elders and deacons are both desperately, desperately needed in churches. And so we need to continuously clarify. Maybe you grew up in a church that called, they had leaders in the church and you called them elders, or maybe you called them deacons, or maybe you called them a leadership committee. But our own church is in need, as part of this strategy, to try to clarify these roles a little bit. I'll give you an example. I did some research. Our bylaws under section 5.3.2, numbers 1 and 4, state that the main function of deacons is to oversee. But that's not the function of overseer and deacon in the Bible. You see how you can confuse that. Section 5.3.3, number 2, the qualifications for deacon that's listed in our bylaws is Titus chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. And that's the qualifications for elders. So hence the need for us to give a little clarity to that. To be specific, as clear as possible, our church needs to look at our bylaws and try to restructure and rewrite them in a way that is clear about the scriptural qualifications about elders and deacons. Number two, in the future, because you have one elder now, we have people who function as elders in the church, but really, I, as a single pastor, am the only elder ordained in the church, but we need to form an elder board where we have multiple elders shepherding this congregation. Remember I said last week, it's not healthy for one guy to be the shepherd, as Moses learned. Number three, we need to extend and recognize our deacons and deaconesses who serve faithfully. Because we actually have men and women in this church who serve as deacons or deaconesses in various roles but are not recognized as such. Number two, so that's the first question. The first question was, why are we even talking about this? Because the church needs to always go back to the Bible and try to get some clarity on things. Number two, question, what would I envision or what would I envision a biblical deacon board looking like? It's a group of men and women serving in various capacities in the church. We actually already have men and women, like I said, serving in this capacity. Deacon means service, but we would just say they're serving in that capacity. But you see the weirdness there? We would call it serving. We wouldn't call it deaconing, which is really what it is. So I would envision, next slide, I would envision that our church would look more of a deacon of Sunday setup, a deacon of welcoming, a deacon of music, a deaconess of website and media, a deacon of Mandarin-speaking ministry, deaconess of finances, a deaconess of kids' ministry, small groups, parking, youth. You see, we already have people doing this, and what they're really doing is deaconing. They're serving the church in a practical way. But we just call it serving, where really that's what deacons are. Deacons are people who serve. Deacons are not a ruling body or a group of people that's really supposed to meet together. So the elders are not the Senate, and the deacons are the House of Representatives. It's people who serve in the church in various ways with the gifts that God has given them to lead ministry. And so the church needs elders, and the church needs deacons. So yeah, Piper's got it up there. This is what I think, when I look at the Scripture, is what a biblical model of church leadership is. You have a plurality of male elders, shepherds in the church. Elders lead ministry, deacons facilitate ministry, and the congregation does ministry. We are to equip the saints for the work of ministry, not do ministry. You know that, right? Now, don't laugh that I said sheepdogs here. Shepherds and sheepdogs, because I read a book recently, and the guy said the greatest tool that a shepherd has is his sheepdogs. Well, that's not condescending, but really what sheepdogs do is what deacons do is get in there and find the lost sheep, or take this one over here and serve in practical ways and get in places where elders can't even get into. So deacons and deaconesses over various areas of ministry in the church. Number three, question. Can't we just change the names and call them whatever we want? I mean, do terms matter? Why not use committee? Why not just call elders deacons and deacons elders, or leadership team, or whatever? Does it really matter? Well, the Bible calls them what it does. And I think that it shows a humility, and I think that it shows a real honor and seriousness for God's Word if we try to use the terms that the Bible uses. There's a reason why I call Amber my wife and not my partner. In the same way, if we use the terms that God has used in the Bible, it says something about our seriousness to what God has to say. That's my answer. Number four, this will probably be the question you're all thinking. Pastor, aren't you just a little uptight? I mean, why can't we just leave things as they are and stop trying to change things? Well, you know it's a pastor's job to change things, right? Not really. True that I am a bit uptight, but don't worry. These things take time. We're just laying the groundwork for where our church is not going to happen today. But I want you to know something. I don't love the Word of God as much as I need to. But I do love this book. I do love this book. And I believe that this book has the answers for us. And I believe that we as a church, and part of my job as a pastor, is to continually lead our church to where we would be always bending ourselves and asking ourselves, are we being faithful in every area to this book? So the need to ask questions or to preach on deacons and elders stems from my own desire for our church to always be holding ourselves up to the Word and asking ourselves, are we doing what God's Word says? So please, please know that that is what I'm trying to do. I have no agenda to try to, you know, work myself into this power position or do this. I've already told you there doesn't need to be one single elder pastor leading this church. The burden is too heavy. What I'm trying to do is give us a little clarity to take that tent stake and just tap it in a little bit. Because, and some of you have heard me say this, the structure that our church has currently will support the weight of our church currently. But the structure that we have in place right now will not support the weight if our church grows under God's grace. If God were to double the number of people that we have, we would need a structure that would support that growth. So I'm just trying to build the skeletal system of the body of Christ. Well, let's give a summary and we'll take the Lord's Supper. Deacons, my summary of deacons is this. Deacons are a group of men and women under the authority of the elders who are called to build up the body by serving in practical areas. Deacons are a group of men and women under the authority of the elders who are called to build up the body by serving the church in practical areas. You may have a better definition of that when it comes to the Scriptures. That's the definition that I can work out in my mind. Let's read a verse and we'll pray. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. Literally, God exhaled. And it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, and that the church of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. God's Word has the answers. We don't really need to turn anywhere else to find the answers. If it's not in here, then it must not be that important. But if it is in here, then let's ask the Lord, how do we need to clarify it, and how do we need to tap it in a little bit? Let's pray together. Almighty God, I pray that you would smooth out all of the rough places that where if I've said anything today that might be harmful or hurtful or confusing in any way, I pray that you would smooth it over. And that only your word would remain, not my words. And that, Lord, if I'm wrong, that you would show me in your word. Lord, I pray if this has been beneficial, if this has been edifying in any way for our church, I pray that you would let that remain and fall on good soil so that our church might be strengthened. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.